Christ always exalted, worshipped, praised, magnified. The only praising was to the Christ or the crucified one. So be of faith, fear, and the Lord died. Our first scripture reading will come from the book of Numbers, chapter 21. I'll read in English, and thereafter, Mother Philip Mandela will lead a song of praise. Then, Brother Austin Banda will lead John chapter 3, and thereafter, Brother John Cobbitt already has a song of praise. Church, it's a good name of Bible at war. Where in the Rahoyamba, Kubra Pukula, Numeri 21, verse 1, Tidamusi, Garden of Tingerezi, or Tramarisa, Abusa Mandaras, Abusa Nimbo Tabu, Abusa Austin Banda, who governed Yohane chapter 3. Mwene tika marisa ayokani munga matina ose ni munga buku. Munga ya pitika yungo ya buku imoti. Numbers 21. And when King Elad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, and tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel bowed the vow and met the Lord and said, "The Lord will give me deliverance from my God, then I will utter and destroy their enemies." And the Lord hearkened into the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place. And went up
unto there. That is the word whereof the Lord spake unto Moses. Gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang the song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The prisons did the world, the nobles of the people did it by the direction of the lawkeeper with their slaves, steps. And from the wilderness they went to Magdala, and from Magdala to Naharian, and from Naharian to Gamal, in a valley that is in the country of Moab, to the top of Pisgah, which looketh toward Jeshimon. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, let me pass through thy land. We will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards. We will not drink of the waters of the world, but we will go along by the king's highway until we be past thy borders. And Sihon would not suffer Israel to pass through his border. But Sihon gathered all his people together and went out against Israel into the wilderness. And he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. And Israel smote him with the edge of the sword and possessed him his land from Arnon unto Jabbok, even unto the children of Ammon. For the border of children of Ammon was strong. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon, and in all the villages thereof. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab, and taken all his land out of his hand, even unto Arnon. Wherefore, they that spent in his problem say, come into Heshbon, let the city of Zion be built, for there is a fire born out of Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon. It hath consumed the air of Moab and the high places of Moab.
Amadisonga,
sana kwa ukutaje alimani. Kimuda kama yesewe. Kipo anaza kwa alimani na alimani. Basi ya mene analisikiru. Kitali kia yonani. Amene muda mkira ukoni. Kaona aliyemeyo abadisa kwa anuose alimkuta kwa kiketo. Yohane anaya anganati. Kuzi hako za kulangi la bani. Kaya kita kwa kito kwa niye koto kira. Namba. Kente ei. Kinoka. Kuzi kira uboni. Kuzi kisinati. Kuzi ile kisikoma. Kuzi. Kuzi kwa kukoro maje. Kwa iye. Kente nai. Kie amene aye nae kwa kiti. Aye mpati. Kwa mpati wa mpati yo. Kwa kuzi kwa kutera ile agotera. Kwa kukuru. Kwa jamao. Wajaje, mwenye tanga, mwenye kubani, ya wanira, tete. Yeyo, haya nila kukama kuma, kine, kinepe. Tene watu. Yeyo, wote kila kumamba, aliwa kosta hose. Ya vena, aliwa kukua la basi, aliwa kukua la basi. Yala kukua la basi, kukua la basi. Yeyo, wote kila kumamba, aliwa kosta hose. Tene tu. Mwenye anakikuona, najiba, ajita ukoni.
Thank you. Lord, we have honor and honor all of this tremendous time. Brother Mark, particularly from the Great Church, we also go in prayer before Brother Ken Picker, the Macaponas, and Chief. Because, the title of this message is Christ the Lamb of
God.
The last time we looked at this portion, we had seen there in verse 24 where the Pharisees had sent their messengers to learn about John the Baptist and who he was. They had challenged John's authority to preach and to be baptizing where he was there in the wilderness. And so they asked him in verse 25 and said unto him, why baptizest thou then if thou be not the Christ or that Christ or Elisha? It should be Elias, neither that prophet. The reason they were questioning him was because he had not received any commission from the Sanhedrin, that is that body of authority that the Jews had established amongst themselves. And here was one, John the Baptist, or baptizer, who was completely outside that religious system. You can imagine how John the Baptist would have been questioned, much like in our day, if the Lord raises up preachers of the gospel and sends them out to preach. People want to know, well, what school did you attend? Or where did you get your degree? Or who ordained you to preach? They can't comprehend that the Lord's preachers were completely outside of the religious systems of the day.
Uri mbaga wa wazi, uri mbaga wa Roma, uri nchangu, uri nchangu,
But none of that should dissuade or discourage one that the Lord has set forth to preach Christ, even though men will oppose. There were actually three different religious groups in John's day that competed with one another. There were the Pharisees, and then there were the Sadducees, and then there were the Herodians. Herodians, representatives of Herod. But John did not represent any of these religious groups because the Lord himself had raised him up and sent him forth. But John did not identify with any of these groups, just as in our day when people want to know, well, are you Baptist or are you Pentecostal or what exactly are you? They want to try to put you in some category. But as the Apostle Paul said, if I would be a servant of men, I could not be a servant of Christ. There are certain countries, and it may come to that even here in the United States or over there in Africa, where unless you belong to one of the approved religious groups of the country or the land, that they will not allow you to preach, and you will be pursued and persecuted. Years ago, there was a man from England that was not commissioned to preach by the Church of England. They required of him a license to preach, and his name was John Bunyan. But he faced 12 years in prison because he refused to accept any kind of license from the state church of the day. They tried to get him to recant and to accept a license, even by bringing his blind daughter every day to sit under his window in the prison where she was moaning and groaning from hunger. And they hoped to influence him to go ahead and take that license to preach for the sake of his daughter, but the Lord strengthened him to where he prayed for his wife and family that God might take care of them, but would not bend. This is why Paul encouraged Timothy to pray for those in authority over us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Let's not take for granted the freedom that we have to go forth and preach Christ in our day, even though men oppose. Here then is where we see John in verses 26 to 28, by God's grace, continuing to stand his ground. And he would not deny that he baptized in water, but that he sought to bring their attention back to the real reason he was set for, and that was to declare Christ. In verse 26, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but notice he says, there standeth one among you whom ye know not. John baptizing with water was not his message. He did not come to preach baptism in water, but he was commissioned by the Lord to baptize all those that the Lord would draw to him and turn their eyes to Christ. It's like today, men will like to raise questions about water baptism and about who has authority to baptize. And they get caught up with all of these side questions, when in reality, the purpose of him baptizing was a picture of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's by immersion. He was in the Jordan baptizing that represented Christ's death and burial and resurrection.�
yose z'ubatizo kuti chikwa chadi kubatiza kapena wamabatiza mutadi kufudatiziwe osansi wachowalinga chaubatizo kuti ubatizo tichithuzithuzi chabe chaimfa yambuye wa Jesu Kristu kufa ndi kuka kwake.
It's like today, people like to discuss and argue about side issues, all the while they are without Christ. They have no knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he set forth in Scripture. In verse 26, he's speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ when he says, yes, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. Christ was already in the world. He would have been about 33 years of age at this point, and yet had not been publicly manifest until John would baptize our Lord Jesus Christ. That would be what would begin his public ministry. But he was among them and yet knew them not. It's like today in many religious organizations, the Bible is read and Christ is set forth from Genesis to Revelation. And yet men will preach many other things from the Bible, but they won't preach Christ as he set forth. Why? Because they know him not. The Spirit of Christ has not been revealed in them. This is one of the first questions that needs to be asked of religious people in our day, even as in John the Baptist's day, and that is, what think ye of Christ? So while these, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians 1:17, were all arguing over who it was that had baptized them, and you can see that up in verse 12. Some were saying, I'm of Paul, others I of Apollos, others I of Cephas, and some, I'm of Christ. And yet Paul reminds them that that's not the message. He says to preach the gospel, and that's what John the Baptist was doing. Even in the water baptism, he was declaring the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, not with wisdom of words. We're not to philosophize. We're not to dissect and try to reason according to man's reason concerning the cross of Christ, lest it should remain of none effect.
Audio Messa Sidra Ligre, Utenta Monga Manzeru, saarfu kurkana mtandao ungalelezedwe.
That's why he says, for the preaching of the cross, verse 18, is to them that perish foolishness. They came out to see John the Baptist, but they didn't understand who it was that he was declaring, because they did not know him. It takes the Spirit of God revealing him to know him. It was a man they couldn't understand, whom the Lord had raised up to go out in the desert and to prepare the way of the Lord in preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. He was foolishness unto them, not having been taught by the Spirit of Christ. But unto us, Paul said in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 1, which are saved, those that God has saved through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the very power of God. So while even in John's day, so in ours, there are many that want to argue and discuss side issues and will ask you about, well, what is this saying, or go to this portion and say, well, what about that? But that's where we need to do as John the Baptist did, point them to the one that is the vital issue, and that is, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, and why did he come into this world, and what did he accomplish by his death? These were ones that had the scriptures. In fact, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were the ones that preserved the scriptures and made copies of them available and were careful to translate them and copy them with care. And the Lord purposed that we might have this word today. These were ones that had the scriptures that when they went back and read them, they were waiting for the Messiah, the anointed one, who was to come as prophesied and promised in the Old Testament scriptures. Here stood one that they knew not. He's the seed of the woman. Here would stand Abraham's seed, the one promised that should come through Abraham. Here was David's son, that promised son that should be raised up according to God's covenant with David. Here John the Baptist was sent forth to represent that one who is the fulfillment of all of the promises and all of the prophecies and all of the pictures in the Old Testament scriptures. Yet they did not know him. That's what he says there to their condemnation in verse 26. There standeth one among you whom ye know not. And all that John has to say about that is declared in verse 27. He says, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. When you break that down, he it is who coming after me. He's talking about his coming into this world. John the Baptist preceded our Lord Jesus Christ by 6 months in his birth. And even here now in his ministry, John was sent forth first to be that forerunner prophesied there in the book of Malachi. And so his coming may be after me, John's saying, I may be the forerunner, but he is preferred before me or above me. Here's a good lesson for any of us that the Lord has raised up to preach Christ, and that is, we're nothing. We're never to eclipse by our preaching or our manner or our person the Lord Jesus Christ. We declare him, but he is preferred before any one of us. Back when John says there in verse 27, whose shoes latchet, I am not worthy to unloose. That was the job of a servant in a household. When the master would come into the house and the servant would kneel down and loose the latchets of his sandals to take off his sandals and wash his feet. John's saying, I'm not even worthy to be a servant. We declare the Lord Jesus Christ come in the flesh, and he came in the Father's own time to this earth, but he is preferred above us or before us in that he is eternal, and he has all preeminence, and is therefore before all.
Amen. Yes. iwe mwagari kari. Wala uti Bible mana uti yeyo mwaya mbayamba pre imminence. Mwaya mbayamba mwesitu zonse. Kuli mbeza ni mwa mkuru, kuda mkuru zeyo akutiwa mwagari. Iliwa mkamala likira ya suwa mtindo meneo. Unaende kwa kuona kuli tinuso osa edera, anga kare kumesuwa lambala sabara zake.
Let us never take the name and the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to our lips to declare him without this complete reverence and awe as to who he is and the glory due unto his name. When people want to compliment the preacher or say all kinds of nice things about the preacher or exalt the preacher, let our answer be even as John the Baptist here. No, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, and I'm not even worthy to be called one of his servants. And then the Apostle John says these things, verse 28, were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. That word really means immersing those that the Lord brought to him. But it wasn't about him. It was about the one who was to come after him and yet was preferred before him. So there's where we come now to the key scripture of this particular message, Christ the Lamb of God. You can say many things about the Lord Jesus Christ, speak of his sovereignty and his glory, and those things are true. But I'll tell you that unless we're preaching him, the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ, as God's Lamb, we've not preached the gospel. And that's why in verse 29 we read, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that's why we read again in verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. You see, the Jews that were questioning John the Baptist, they were looking for a Messiah who was to come, but they weren't looking for the God-man. That's why it's so important to see here where he says, after me cometh a man. When people looked on him, they saw but a man, And yet when it says that he is preferred before me, or he is above all things, he's talking about him being God in the flesh.
Amene amachotsa chimo lake la dziko la pansi tifakepo waonetsera wanga amati musamuone monga munthu wamba koma ndiye wochotsa chimo la dziko la pansi.
These religionists of the day, they were looking for a prophet or a king to come and deliver them politically, but they understood nothing of a savior priest who was at the same time God's priest and at the same time the sacrifice unto God. By saying, be Lamb of God, they're saying he is the one who has come and fulfilled all of those Old Testament types and pictures and the sacrifices as the Lamb of God.
Kuti mwina namene akoza kupulumutsa dziko la pansi komatu Yohane amaonetsera anthu kuti Yesu ndiye mwana wankhosa. Akamati ndiye mwana wankhosa amatanthauza kuti iyeyo ndiye nkhosayo yochotsa tchimo yophera nsembe. Iyeyo ndiye wansembe wopereka nsembeyo kuti chotsetse tchimo. Iyeyo ndiye mneneri amene amanenera wopereka nsembe kuti tchimo la munthu lichotsedwe.
You may ask and wonder, well, why did not they inquire after him as the sacrifice? They were looking for a king. They were looking for a prophet. That they were not looking for a priest. And the only answer we can give is they didn't see themselves as sinners. Now when John declared the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing him coming unto him, he was declaring four things. When he said, behold, the Lamb of God, he was declaring Christ's sinlessness. Because according to the Old Testament, the Lamb had to be without spot and without blemish. He was declaring Christ as the man as being that sinless sacrifice, not an animal sacrifice. When it says the Lamb of God, he's speaking of him in the flesh as God's Lamb. The Apostle Peter picked up this message in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, where he says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what he had to be God's Lamb. But secondly, not only was John declaring his sinlessness, but secondly, he was declaring his humility in coming into this world as a lamb, the Lamb of God.
Sikuti anango Yohane sikuti amango wanetsa kuti Yesu
Picture this, that here is none other than God himself in the flesh, coming into this world and humbling himself as a lamb. And Isaiah 53 and verse 7 describes this as a lamb being brought to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He did not react against being that Lamb of God and the sufferings that he should suffer.
Bonga choenga Yesaya, uto 53, ndi maga ya 7, mela kuti, iye anatendere sedwa, koma anatijeve saeka, wasa tsekula baga mafashe, ngani nkosa yotokole lega munga pedwa, ingani maana wankosa, aminaridu, maso ba umsenga, motero sana tsekula baga mafashe.
What humility, that none other than the Lord of glory should come into this world and be that Lamb of God to be sacrificed for the sin of his people. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Philippians in chapter 2, described our Lord in this manner in verse 6, who being in the form of God, which means he was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. There's that humbling of himself. And became obedient unto death. There's that perfection. He was obedient in all things unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8.
Kukuhone kilanso mwa Filipi mtu 2, nime yake 60, sika muslimo, imeda kuti, amene yu, kukanda awo maonekeke amurungu, sana jese cholanda bukala ofanda na ndimurungu, kuma, ana jiku tuleka, na jenga maonekeke waka poro, na kala mafarizide antu, nipo opesedwa maonekeke wenda ndimuntu,
But thirdly, when John the Baptist declared, "Behold the Lamb," he was not only declaring his sinlessness and his humility, but his sacrifice. That's why he's the Lamb of God. He came to this earth not to be just a lamb like people look on a cute little lamb and say, oh, how sweet and cute that lamb is. No, he came to offer himself as the sacrifice for the sins of that people for whom God the Father sent him into this world.
Here
in verse 29 of John 1, it describes his particular mission in coming as the Lamb of God. It says, which taketh away the sin of the world. That word taketh means to bear it away. That's why he came into this world, to bear away the sin of that people that God has chosen from every tribe, nation, and tongue in the world. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26, the writer puts it this way. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So unlike the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament that foretold his sacrifice, they had to be offered daily because those sacrifices could never put away sin. They were but a covering. But when Christ came at the end of the world, that is, in the fullness of the time, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. One sacrifice, one offering unto God through this who was the Lamb of God. So even here, the Lord Jesus Christ coming in the flesh was bearing away the sin, that is, taking it upon himself, even leading up to the cross. It wasn't enough that he should live a perfect and holy life, but that he should pay the sin debt in his sacrifice of himself. Both were required. So in all of that, from his conception all the way to the cross, he was the sin bearer, the one who would take on himself the sin of sinners in the world. That's what that word means. It doesn't mean he died for everybody, else there would be no condemnation. But those sinners throughout the world for whom he came, he is that sacrifice. But one fourth thing and final thing for this message that we find John the Baptist declaring when he said, behold the Lamb of God. He was declaring the Lamb as that sacrifice without blemish, without sin. He was declaring his humility in coming and laying down his life. He was declaring the necessity of him as the sacrifice to the satisfaction of God the Father. But fourthly, we see the efficacy of that sacrifice. We see that in John the Baptist's statement, where he declares, "Behold the Lamb of God, which actually taketh away the sin." He didn't attempt to take it away. He didn't come to try to take it away. It very specifically says to take it away. He either did it or he didn't. The writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14 puts it very succinctly. It says, "For by one offering," notice, "he hath perfected, declared just and holy forever, them that are sanctified, them that are set apart unto Christ." And again, up in verse 10 of Hebrews 10, "By the which will," that is God's sovereign will and purpose, "we are sanctified, we are set apart unto holiness through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." How plain and clear then is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in attempting to put away sin or saying that he laid down his life to put away sin, but now it's up to man to accept that work. If that were the case, none would be saved. No, everything pertaining to the salvation of those sinners that God has purposed to save was accomplished there at the cross. So effectual was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice unto the Father that when he had laid down his life, he cried, "It is finished." There was nothing more to be done. It's not our believing in Christ and the work that he accomplished that makes it effectual. It's just the opposite. Because it is effectual, all those for whom he paid the debt, God, by his purpose and will cause to believe, will cause to look to Christ and see him alone as all of God's acceptance before him. Well, we've got to leave it there for now, but I pray that what we've heard and read, the Lord will indeed bring home effectually to the hearts of each one of those for whom Christ paid the debt.
Mama,
May the Lord Jesus Christ alone be exalted and glorified. And I'll turn it back to you.
To God be all the glory and honor, Brother King, because of the beautiful child that the Lord gave us, and every mouth should be shut up. The message that the Lord is speaking today, Brother King, is very new. I remember being preaching that verse 29. It was like just an order for calling people to come and follow the sinner's prayer. Being just pointing to the people and saying, you are sinners, come and raise up your hands and follow my prayer. So, but today, even in the translation of verse 29, everything is new. Kindness, righteousness, of myself. I'm so thankful to God.
Amen.
Because of that.
Amen.
Let's open our hymns. Hymn number 26. In our local tower. Church is a great hymn number 26. Hymn number 26. Wochimwa iwe umasulidwe oda mwana mwana wako sapatazali
number 59. Glory and honor to you. In the world that brings my sin.
And he has purified me with his blood. I will come to the well of the sweetest well. And bow down and bow on him, on his footstool, and shout to him, because he's only one, the living well, that can unify you, change you, and that's the problem. That never just comes to everybody, that is those he came to. Because of this, glory be unto his name, he is the most one.
Praise and the honor and the glory in his dear name. Amen.